Blog Talk Radio.
Joanne, are you there? Joanne, where are you? I don't know what happened to Joanne. Well, we'll have to see whether she calls back. Gonna get her on the line. I hope you guys can hear me out there. Tonight we have Larry Wilcox from the TV show Chips and the Outsiders Band debuting their new single, You and Me, and hopefully we'll be able to hear that. Let's say, hey, Joanne. Are you there, Joanne? I'm not hearing Joanne today. I don't know what's going on. Hey, Joanne. She hung up and she's going to try calling back in. But the Outsiders have this great new song. I tell you, I had the pleasure of them sending it to me and then listening to it, and it's absolutely fantastic. You guys are going to love it. It reminds me of, you know, when music was really, really good back in the 60s and 70s. It's just an amazing song, and it has everything that you know, a musician would want. It has the guitar, the bass, drums, organ. And it's catchy as anything. Joanne, you there?
Yeah, we've been here. Larry and I have been here. We heard you the whole time.
Okay.
Well,
I was
anyway.
Getting worried because I didn't hear other line. I was like, oh, my God.
We were both talking to you. So welcome. I'm sure John just filled you guys all in. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I am so excited and pumped to start March off with a bang with one of the biggest stars in my lifetime, Mr. Larry Wilcox. On the phone with us is Mr. Larry Wilcox from Chips. Sir, thank you
hey,
for
Larry.
Joining us. It's a pleasure. Did we lose Larry?
Is Larry
now?
There?
Oh,
I hope we didn't lose Larry.
Hold on.
The beauty of live radio. And, of course, Blog Talk is not one of the best ones. But did we lose Larry? Do we have Larry on the line?
No.
Well, I don't. Oh, I hear him a little bit. Oh, the Chips was one of my favorite shows.
Larry, are you there?
Thank you.
Larry, you there, hon?
I'm here.
All right, here
okay.
We go. All right, retake. All right, sorry about that, Larry. I don't know if you heard me, Larry, but one of my favorite shows growing up was Chips, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show with us. Before we begin, if you don't mind, I'd like to say thank you to our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines from South Africa. With us on the phone is Mr. Larry Wilcox, who played John on Chips. Larry, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. I said I wanted to bring March in with a bang, and I couldn't think of any other way than to have you as our first guest, and I'm so honored that you joined us. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
You are an amazing guy. I mean, not only are you an actor, you're a decorated military guy. What, Marines? Was it the Marines?
Yeah.
Producer, writer, let's not forget dad. And my God, I mean, how old were you when you went to Vietnam?
I think I was 19.
Wow. And how long were you there?
13 months.
Oh, wow. I hope you didn't see too much bad stuff, but, you know, we won't go into that. But thank you so much for your service. We appreciate that. And I was looking at a lot of stuff from Chips. I was wondering, personally, before I looked into you and researched, that I was wondering if you got along with Eric Estrada, because he seemed so full of himself. I mean, great-looking guy, but so are you. But he just seemed like more like he was there for eye candy. So the two of you butt heads or what?
Well, originally we did. But, you know, we get along now and both parties are more mature and not looking in the mirror so much.
Right.
So everything seems fine.
Yeah, well, it was a different time. Different time, long time ago, right? So.
Yep.
And I love that you didn't change your name, that you stayed Larry Wilcox, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. You know, so many people that just change your name right away. So, and you were also in a lot of my favorite shows that I had no idea. Room 222, I love that show. Street to San Francisco, another one I just love. Cannon. What role did you play in the Partridge Family? I got to see if I could pick you out in my head.
I have no idea.
You know.
I mean, you know, we did those shows way back when, and, you know, you were just excited to be able to get a job and have a little acting role. And so I did, you know, Lassie, and I did that for 3 years, and Lassie was the star, and I was the co-star. And then we did all the episodic television, and, you know, some were great, some were not so great. But it was a good experience, and you learned a lot every time, and with humility.
Right. And what role did you play in MASH? Do you recall which role you played in MASH?
No, I played the young military guy who got a Korean girl pregnant and was going to leave her in Korea.
Oh, my God. I do remember that episode. Okay.
Yeah.
I had to play it in my head. Okay. I definitely remember. Yes. Excellent. I remember now. I wanted to ask you, did you know how to ride a motorcycle before you started the show, or did you have to learn?
No, I knew how, but... you know, knowing how to ride a police motorcycle were much different. So, yes, I rode motorcycles from the time I was a kid till doing Chips. But we, both of us went through motorcycle training with the California Highway Patrol.
Oh, really?
So we learned a lot. I mean, you know, we had to lay them down and wreck them and have the rear wheel come around a high-speed teeny square so that you just clutch and brake and balance it. So we got pretty proficient, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And did you do your own stunts, Larry?
I did a lot of them, but I always tell people, you know, I didn't do the really hairy ones. And when actors always tell you they did the stunts, and most of it's public relations because they may have done part of the stunt, but they didn't really do it. Like, if they wanted me to roll underneath the tracks of a 30-mile-an-hour railroad car, I said, no, I'm not doing that.
You didn't do no Evel Knievel stuff.
No. I mean, I rode the jet skis because I jet skis and a jet ski. And then I rodeo, so I rode the horses and roped and some of those skis. And, you know, certain things that I did that someone would refer to as, did the stuntman do that? No, I did it. I rode the motorcycles, sometimes accidentally wrecked it. But you know, if they said, we want you to flip this motorcycle and burn, no, that's not me. That's a stuntman.
Right.
I did fight scenes on top of buses. Sometimes you'd fall off and be dangling by a cable. And sometimes we hit trees and took out the cameraman. And, I mean, there are dangerous things that happen.
Right.
But they're really hairy stunts. Stuntmen do them, and they're really good athletes, and they're trained to do it. And today... you know, stunts is really, yes, they do some heroic things, but most stunts are, you know, done with a lot of creative filmmaking today.
Right. Yeah. Well, now it's all done digital, too, with computers, too. Now, you wound up becoming, you started your own production company, Wilcox Productions. How did that come about? I mean, I guess you felt that you needed to do something else, or...
Yeah, I think just the insecurity of the job, you know. I mean, you're an actor, but that's kind of like being a pair of shoes on the shoe rack. Who's going to buy you? You don't know.
Right.
And you have a shelf life, even if you are successful in most cases. 99% have a shelf life. So what are you going to do when you've made, you know, millions of dollars a year that all of a sudden your income goes to zero?
Right.
And so you have to start thinking about transition. So, you know, I, like some actors, I started directing and directed two of the highest rated shows on Chips. And then I directed some of the openings and closings of the Ray Bradbury Theater for HBO, which is a television series that I produced and for 5 years. And then I produced the Dorothy Stratton story, The Death of a Playmate for NBC.
Yeah, I was going to say that some of the things you did, I mean, I enjoyed tremendously. That was a great, great movie, Death of a Centerfold, Dorothy Stratton story. And unfortunately, it was a little close to home for you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. And also, I was curious, and you also did, what was another one, the Wolfman Jack story. That's a great story. I remember that movie. I had no idea that was you that did these. That's crazy. I had no idea. And they were great. I said, fantastic, you know? And now,
yeah.
I'm curious to know, now, Eric Estrada, he wouldn't get together for the reunion, supposedly, from what I gathered on my information. But he did get together to do a spoof comedy in National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon. So what's that say? I mean, come on.
yeah, well, that was, I'm sure he has reasons, you'd have to ask him. But we were all frustrated that he didn't come. It would have been fun because we had like 300 people show up and probably 2/3 of them were police officers. So that was great. And, you know, we had a wonderful, wonderful event.
And you do a lot for police officers and those who have been lost. You want to tell folks about what you do for them with your charity? Or
yeah, we try to do almost anything they ask. I mean, Sue Walsh has puts all my websites and stuff together, and Sue's a writer, also a talented writer, and she put on the events, the Chips reunion, with her own money. And, you know, brought people in and served them a wonderful dinner and then had that, you know, question and answer period and then autograph signing period and so on. And then we do things like fallen heroes, police and firemen. And so I go to Northern California and they do a big event and we filmed it and we did a commercial that I shot, produced and directed for them and donated. And so they help raise money for police officers' families when a fireman has been killed in the line of duty, and then their family, the breadwinner's gone. So this group provides money for those organizations. So, you know, whether it be a police officer, a fireman, or in my case, a veteran, anything I can do to help, you know, as a veteran, I want to help them.
Did you guys play a role in 9/11 families or only West Coast families who helped out?
I didn't directly. One of the gentlemen that I work with on Fallen Heroes is a famous opera singer that is the policeman who sings opera. And we talked a lot about that. He was actually there and lost friends and colleagues and so on. But no, I did not directly.
After a while, pardon me, Eric Estrada left the show and Bruce Jenner came on for a couple of episodes. How was it working with Bruce Jenner at the time?
Well, it was fun. I was sorry to see him go away, but but he was a great guy. We had so much fun together because, you know, he was an Olympian, world's greatest athlete. And
you were... Your wife is right. Go ahead. I was going to say, your wife is an Olympian as well, right?
Yes, and she was an Olympian. And so, you know, we had that in common. And then our children went to school together, Chad and his daughters. And so so we always played sports together. We played tennis together once in a while. And we raced go-karts and we raced cars. And, you know, and we're both pilots. He flew a plane and I fly one, and aerobatics. And so I had a lot in common with him. So transitioned, I just was in shock. You know?
I was going to ask you, were you shocked? Now, did you sense anything back then like that he was a little bit?
No, nothing at all.
Wow. I was going to say, were you in shock when it happened? Because, I mean, the whole world was. So, I mean, you knew him personally. So.
Well, in, you know, in Hollywood, everybody always covers up for everyone. So you,
right.
A lot of times you don't know what the truth is when they say, no, no, he's not this or he's not that. When, in fact, they all know he is. And but in Bruce's case, honestly, I mean, once in a while you would hear a weird rumor that he seems like he's getting plastic surgery and something's weird going on. And I would say, no, no. And
right.
The television show would ask me, what do you think about Bruce? And I don't know. What do you think?
Right, exactly.
He's a great guy. I don't know. And then, bam, it happened.
He makes beautiful kids, that's for sure. His sons are so handsome, and the daughters, forget it, they're beautiful. So, but now, I don't recall you guys on the show ever, like, drawing your guns very often. Did that? Am I wrong?
We never drew our guns. Eric or I never drew our guns. But Brody drew his in one episode. But to answer your question, the whole point was that it really was kind of a, you
wholesome
adult thing. Boy Scouts on the motorcycles.
Right. And another thing, is it true that the cop from The Village People, is he based off of Eric Estrada's character?
I have no idea.
Oh, they said that's true. I don't know about that. I figured I'd ask you.
I know the band, there was a rock band named their band after my character. My call letters on on Chips was 7 Mary 3. And, so there's a band called the 7 Mary 3. So.
Oh, wow. Why didn't you participate in the final season?
The show went 5 years, and then Eric Estrada had me replaced. And
Get out.
And so he went on with the 6th year, I guess. You know, what he says is we were young and made sometimes good and sometimes bad decisions. So I just say, yeah, okay, it was what it was. So
Exactly. Anyway,
he went on the 6th year and then it got canceled.
Right. Is he a real cop now? I thought I heard.
He is. He's a real cop. And, you know, he's still a handsome guy. He's I think he does internet crime for predators and stuff like that mostly.
And, you're still a handsome guy as well.
Thank you.
So tell us obviously you went on to do this producing, directing. Is there a book out, John, or are you working on one? Or?
No. I just started kind of, which I'll wait and see as I write it if I think it's worth doing a book, because I don't want to do it for publicity, but. There have been many experiences in my life that are, you know, I've been really lucky and I'm humbled and grateful for having those experiences. But there's some tragic and dramatic and some interesting and some humorous and some great experiences in different chapters of my life. So, I wouldn't mind writing a book, because I want to look in the mirror, but because I think it would interest a wide body of people. But
no, definitely.
I may be wrong.
No, not at all. I mean, if people would definitely want to know. I mean, it's definitely a story worth reading. Are you kidding me? I mean, your life story. I mean, you're infamous. Come on. I mean, you're a legend. You're a legend. You know. So if anybody wants to give a call in and speak to Larry, please give us a call at 646-478-0999. And so now what is going on? What can we expect from Larry or Wilcox Productions now or in the future?
Well, I just the last thing I did was a movie that just came out called Wish Man.
Mm.
And really, really good movie. You should watch it. You can get it. I think you can get it now on Amazon or Netflix.
Oh, cool.
And it's got rave reviews. And I just do a cameo in it with Sergeant Guttrer, who is Robert Pine on Chips.
Right.
And so we had a good time doing that in Arizona. And it's a story about how Make-A-Wish Foundation came about. And it came about as a result of Chips and a little boy who was dying of cancer and wanted to meet John and Punch.
Is that a true story?
True story, yes.
Wow.
And so the movie's really, the director and writer did a really good job, and the actors. So they all should be proud of that movie, and that most viewers, I think, would really enjoy it also.
And what's the name of it again? I'm sorry.
Wish Man, like Make a Wish, Wish Man. And so I did that, and now I'm working. I just finished writing, and hope to get funding in the next few days on a new tele project that I'll produce and direct. I may or may not be in it. I don't know. Sometimes when you're appealing to various demographics and sponsors, you have to lean to that. So if their demographic is the Red Bull crowd or the Monster drinking crowd, you know, that's 16 to 34. So they don't want Larry Wilcox. They want somebody they know and idolize today. So I may do that. And then I also, you know, I have a lot of technology I work with. I'm working with a new company, American Lighting Science, and we have a really unique lighting system that takes any LED light, like city lights or street lights or parking lot lights or high bay lights, and improves that LED light by about 350% through optics. So we're really impressed with that because we would save a city 50% on electricity cost and energy cost, and, in a much more intense beam of light. And LED light's bad for your retina, so we fix the way that ours is spectrum tuned so that it doesn't injure the retina.
Oh, wow. Very cool. I wanted to ask you this. We don't have to go into details, but you did dabble in the stock market. I get a lot of emails for the marijuana stocks. Do you consider those pump and dump penny stocks? Would you consider that?
What's the question?
Do you consider? I get tons of emails for me to buy these marijuana stocks at like below a penny, and they just rave about it. Do you consider those pump and dumps? In your opinion?
No, but the question really is would I recommend a penny stock? And penny stock guys will be mad at me because I got in trouble with penny stocks for something that I naively did, but it didn't matter. It's when you get in trouble, you get in trouble. Ignorance isn't the plea. But my point is that I think that penny stocks are very dangerous. And the investor that can get in for a penny or five pennies or whatever, it's those really – the attorney told me once, Larry – all of these penny stocks are illegal. And I says, no, that's not true, because TNT, Turner Entertainment, started it as a penny stock and moved on. And he said, no, I'm going to say it to you one more time. They're all illegal. And if you and I disagree with that, I guarantee you one day you're going to have a problem. And so what I'm telling you is I think the penny stocks are dangerous now.
Really? See, now I have bought a couple of the marijuana penny stocks, and I dumped them all because they didn't move. One day they jump, and then they went right back down. So I said, you know what, this is stupid. So I got out of it. But, I didn't realize they were illegal. Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Well, defining illegal from an attorney standpoint versus the CEO standpoint are very often different, as we can see with legality and politics today. But having said that, you know, you have to look at a bunch of things, and most people aren't cognizant of those things, like what's the liquidity in the market? That means, is there any trading? And, they traded 100 million shares. Yeah, but at what price? 0.00001. So just get out of that crap. It's a waste of time.
Well, thank you for telling me, because I will definitely
Larry,
get out of that.
I got a question for you, Larry. You mentioned about the LEDs and with the blue wavelength, it really hurts your retinas. How many households that we know of switched over to these LED bulbs? And what's going to happen to these people who have them installed in their house? And what system did you come up with to fix that Blu-ray to make it more safe for the people?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many houses, but most houses or many houses today have partially or in whole moved from traditional light bulbs into LED lights, because LED lights are less wattage and more intense. So that's the good part. So you think, wow, I'm burning less electricity. This bulb burns forever, this LED thing.
Right.
And I'm off and running. Well, hopefully it isn't shining in your eyes all day in your kitchen where you're trying to do something, because you're going to start, you may start experiencing problems in terms of retina. It's a known fact. It's not Larry Wilcox speaking. You ask about retinal damage from LEDs, and you can look it up on Google.
What about watching a TV constantly? That's LED. I mean, is that I guess that's bad too.
Well, yeah, sure, and it's all predicated on volume, so you'd have to know the volume of actual ray that reaches the eye from your computer screen, your TV, et cetera, et cetera. It obviously affects sleep rhythms, and they all know that also, but if you're having problems sleeping, you want to turn all of that stuff off based on the rays. But what did we do is your question. We designed over 5 years optics that changed the spectrum of the light. So our light spectrum can be adapted accordingly for, you know, non-retinal damage and also for horticulture. So define horticulture: cabbage, carrots, cannabis, any and all of the above. It increases crop volume by up to 20%. So you get a much bigger yield, more return on investment, and everybody goes away happy.
Yeah. Cool.
And will your system be available to the general public at some time?
Yes. We're now putting together, we have it now. We have, our focus heretofore has been on grow lights and street lights and high bay lights. High bay lights are lights that hang in large buildings and light up an airplane hangar or something thereof. So, what people don't realize is they say, wow, that light's really bright. But when you go to the ground 40 feet below the light or some depth thereof, and you measure the lux, and the lux meter shows there's hardly any light, and you compare it to our light, it's night and day. So getting that light to the ground to an auto dealer shop who wants his cars to look red at night and not look brown. When someone drives their car home and the next day they realize they bought a brown car, not a red
right.
car.
How did you get involved in that? That's something off the wall for you, let me know.
Yeah. Well, I'm always involved in technology. You know, I was with a company in the past that developed a really neat device. I really love technology. I won't bore you with all this, so I'll be quick. But they designed a device that hooks onto your car. Well, remember last year before Volkswagen and Porsche and Audi and Renault all got fined for cheating on the smog test. And then Volkswagen part got $10 billion fine for it.
Yeah.
So this device, it would solve the Volkswagen dilemma immediately. Like in 30 minutes, your car has a 90% improvement of emissions, 90. And no matter what car you have, by the way, and then it improves gas mileage by 20 to 40%, and it improves torque by 13%. So it does all three. So I put them on all my children's cars and my car, and it was night and day. And so I'm always dabbling in these technologies here and there, and inline hydro turbines that produce 5 times more energy than wind and solar that should be in every major city. But requires water flow and velocity. So, yeah, I love tech.
And this is currently available to folks, right?
They can, yes.
And where do they find out and how to get this into their homes or wherever need be?
Well, in the lighting, our company is called American Lighting Science, but we haven't put up a website on purpose because we want to come in under the radar and sign up a bunch of cities before we expose it. Our goal is to be acquired by a major company because we're very disruptive and we'll replace all of their product.
Right.
We're better. We've already been tested by big, big companies, and we're better than their lights today. And they have 50 engineers sitting in front of computers that can't do this. So it's a really great product. So that's one. You won't be able to access it as a consumer probably for 2 or 3 months. And then the other one that I mentioned real quickly is Optech, and you can go to their website and order and put it on your vehicle. A lot of guys are going to have to replace their trucks because they aren't smog clean, right. And they can't get them clean. Well, they can with the Optec device. So you go to OPTEC MPG, like miles per gallon, Optec, MPG.com, and you can order and get it on your car or vehicle or generator or truck or semi-truck or tractor. Any and all combustion engines. It's just an amazing product. And it's CARB approved in California. You know, we're the nationalist state of China. Or, oh, no, I guess it's California.
Wow. Well, look at you. Look at you. In the 70s, you were saving California on the highway, and now you're saving the world in the 2000s. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah, you know, you've done, made a major transition there. Larry, where can folks see you next or get in touch with you if they wanted to? I mean, the website or anything? Are you doing any chiller events, any autograph signings?
We did the chiller. You know, you don't want to do those too often because you become an old suit. So you can go to LarryWilcox.net and, you know, some of the scenes I've acted in or movies and stuff are on there, and we have a little store and they can order autographs or whatever, memorabilia. You can go to Facebook, you know, and Larry Wilcox is on Facebook, and then Chips is on Facebook also. So, you know, we have all of those sites, and I don't know, the 100,000 fans or so are on one of those sites, and feel free to go there, and I interface with those people. And we have a Chips site in Germany and Italy, and Sue Walsh does the one on Facebook that is real popular.
Yeah, well, Chips will never die. That's for sure. It won't. Anything from our past will never die. It's the future that we're worried about. So, my friend Larry, thank you so very much for joining us. It is an absolute pleasure and honor. I can't even tell you how grateful I am that you've called and joined us tonight. And
thank you, Larry.
Back to the show. Yes, thank you so much for joining us. I will post on Facebook where folks can listen back to the show, which they normally do, and if you want to hear it or get a copy yourself. And, Larry, thank you so much. I wish you nothing but the best, and thank you so much.
And Joanne and John?
Yes.
So I'm going to be looking in my mailbox for that KWB Pinot Noir from South Africa.
I'll see what I can do on that.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you so much, Larry. Appreciate it. Have a good night, hon. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, what a great guy. I'm telling you. So do we have our friends on the line, John?
We got our friends. The Outsiders on the line. I think Rick and Jimmy are on the line.
Hey!
How's my voice? We're doing good.
Good. Is Greg with you too?
Greg is still out in traffic. We're hoping he can get here in time. He called to apologize and he wants to say hello to you for real. We'll see if we can get here before we wrap it up.
Oh, Greg's a wonderful guy. I love him. I love all you guys. You guys are wonderful. You kidding? And I just want to say thank you so much for the T-shirts. They're beautiful. And if anybody wants one, they are great quality. And you know what I love about them? They're V-neck. Chicks love V-necks. We can't stand the ones that go up to your neck. It's like we feel like we're choking, but I love it. Thank you so much. So tell us about what's going on, guys. Tell us what's going on with you guys.
Joanne, we had another rehearsal today. We are preparing to leave March 30th for the Flower Power Cruise in 2020. And we're getting all our bags together and we got our act, our show. We're polishing up our act, I guess you would say. And looking forward to spending some time with the Buckinghams and the Grassroots and Peter Asher and the Vanilla Fudge and the Classics Four and any number of Beatle tribute bands is going to be
there.
And the Hollies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a heck of a 5 days.
And hi, Lois. Is that Lois in the background?
Hello,
Lois.
Hi, JoJo.
Bye, honey. I heard that there's the Hollies. Don't forget the Hollies. So where does that cruise go? I'm always curious to know where that cruise goes.
We're going to fly from here to St. Thomas in the Bahamas. Then we join the cruise there, and we perform as the boat returns from St. Thomas to Miami.
Nice.
And we'll be doing shows consecutively with the other acts on the boat because they have several showrooms. So we'll be doing Tuesday and Wednesday, the 1st and the 2nd of April, and then we'll be able to do some of the usual cruise boat activities. There'll be games and a game show, simulations and meet and greets and cooking demonstrations and all that good stuff. So, activities.
Yes. And there's going to be a cooking with the outsiders, JoJo. So, Michael Abraham's going to be making steaks, I guess, and I'm going to be making toast and Pop-Tarts. So it's going to work out.
There you go. That's my menu. That's what I cook.
I'm telling you, darling. Let me get that. But, so we're looking forward to that as well. I just put out the first single in a long time.
Right.
How many years, Rick?
52 years since the last Outsiders single recording was on the radio.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You and me, and it seems to be going pretty well. We dropped it mid this week, and by some act of God, it's doing pretty good. You guys are pretty excited about that.
Well, I got to say, Jimmy sent me a couple of the tracks, and I enjoyed every one of them. And I didn't know that you guys originally did, I can't remember. What song was it that you guys originally did that? Which one did you, the last one? Bambi Shape Me. I didn't know you guys originally did that.
Yeah, we were about eight months ahead of the American breed. And our version, for anybody that wants to hear it, actually, let me interrupt. It could be heard on, is it on our website?
No.
Well, anyway, the Bambi Shape Me, the Outsiders version of that is a little darker and less poppy than the American breed version. Our version came out as an album cut on the Outsiders' third album, and quite honestly, our management and production team did not feel it was worthy enough to be a single Outsiders release. So it kind of got relegated to an album cut, and for real.
No way. Yeah.
8 months later, the American breed reshaped it and reproduced it and rearranged it, and it was an enormous hit for them. But we had it out first, and it was nothing like the American breed version. But
the version that I heard, is that the original version that you guys did, or you changed it again?
It is. It's the original version.
I liked it. Yeah, I definitely liked it. And I
want to hear about the new song. I want to hear about the new song, guys, and how that came about. You know, because it's really fantastic. And right after you tell us a little bit about it, we're going to debut it here on the radio show.
Yeah, tell us about it.
I came into rehearsal with a skeleton and a demo of You and Me, and my musical cohorts. They spun the Outsiders magic onto it. And it was definitely all five of us keep putting our heads together and saying, where can we take this? And it turned out pretty well. We were able to record it relatively quickly. I'd say about an hour and a half, no fooling.
Right.
Start to finish. And who's
singing lead?
That is me singing late.
Okay, and I'm talking to
Jimmy.
Ricky.
It is Jimmy.
Jimmy.
I'm the only guy who could read the words that I had scribbled down. No, that's me singing late. And Michael's guitar solo, Michael Abraham's guitar solo was just phenomenal. You know, it was definitely a group effort for sure, guys. The first of many. Stay tuned.
What I wanted to ask you guys in the guitar solo on the turnaround, do I hear an or a seventh chord going in there just to give it a little extra flavor? Because if it is, it's fantastic.
Very good. A7 for anybody who's paying attention. By the way,
right? I heard it. It was like, wow, that's an E7 chord. Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. It was excellent. So, hey sure. Guys, you want to debut it right now and let the world hear it?
We would be honored.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 50-some-odd years. Go ahead, 52 John.
52 years, but what I want to just emphasize here that Blog Talk Radio isn't the best for listening to music, and so just bear with it. It sounds 1,000% better, you know, on a regular stereo, but here we go now. This is You and Me by The Outsiders.
You know what, Joanne?
What, honey?
You know what's nice,
Johnny,
about the song? We can hear there's real guitar, there's real bass, there's real drums, there's
real
singing,
everything.
There's real organ, there's no auto-tune, none of that phony computer crap, and it's beautiful.
Love it.
You and the Applause Radio Show are the second only internet radio station that has played our song.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have the distinction of being the second play. The first went to some friends of ours here in town. Also, an internet radio station. I don't know. Would it be offensive for me to mention them?
Absolutely not. No, of course. Yes.
Not at all.
Let's share the wealth here.
All right. We want to send a shout out to the Rixie 1260 online radio station here in Cleveland. They have been a real big supporter of ours.
We
want to say hello to them. And while I'm at it, taking up time, can I say hello to my children real quick on the radio?
Oh, I don't know. Of course you can. Duh.
There's Leah, Lita, their husbands, Dewan.
Absolutely.
Grandkids, Keenan, Jasa, Macy, and what's the other one's name?
We're back.
The littlest.
She's adorable.
And thank you, Joanne. We want to say hello to them, and we don't see them often enough, but we send our love.
The outsiders are now the insiders. They're back. They're back in the game, people. Let them in. This is a great tune. It's so catchy. I think you're going to do really well with it. I really do. It's got a great hook. I love the keys. It almost gives me a little bit of a Bruce feel with the keys in there, and I love it. I love it. I love it. And Greg did a great job on the bass. Greg did a great job on the bass too.
Yeah, did he?
Oh yeah, he played. Every time we go in to record, Joanne, he just ups the ante. I mean, Mert Madsen would be very, very proud of what he's doing right now. You know, for the outsiders, and the song itself is available for download on Spotify and iTunes and Apple Music, and it's also on YouTube Music as well, I guess. So if folks are moved to actually own a piece of the outsiders, they can do so. You and me, baby. I'm glad you guys like.
Oh, I love it. And let the folks know where they could get an autographed T-shirt like me.
They have to contact us at the Outsiders website, which is www.theoutsidersusalive.com. They can be ordered with PayPal. And, I might as well mention while we're at it, our CD, we have a 10-song CD that we just finished mixing.
Cool.
You and Me is on it, and Bend Me, Shave Me is on it, and Other Outsiders, Other Outsiders albums will be available for purchase as soon as I get them from the company that makes them up. So probably within the next 2 weeks, we'll post on our website, USA Live.
Yeah, and there's a merchandise on the website, too.
Yep.
Yeah, so people can get shirts, and if they'd even like a photo, signed with crayon by Greg. We can do that too.
And we may as well mention too the other guys in the Outsiders that are not able to be here tonight. Of course, Greg DiPaolo, you've been in contact with him. Keyboard player Rick Williger.
Yeah, Rick.
And
Michael Abraham.
Lead guitar Michael Abraham. Their lovely spouses, which we call the Insiders, Ruth, Kathy, and Terry. They're just the chicks.
Well, I honestly can't think of a better way to kick off this month with Larry Wilcox and you guys joining us and letting us play your new song after 52 years that you guys are releasing a new song. I think it's fantastic, and the song is just fabulous too. And not only that, you guys are the nicest guys I've met in a long time, and I love you all to death, and I think you know that.
Thanks, Joanne. When will this be aired?
It's airing
now, huh? It goes right on after the show.
The podcast
should be right up. Hey, we have a caller on the line. We have everybody's friend. We have Dan Carlson on the phone. Hey, Dan, are you there?
Hey, Danny. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Danny, how are you? It's Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy. I'm doing fine. Hey, you guys.
Hi, man. How are you? Good.
I just got to hear your song that you just played.
Isn't it great, Dan?
You guys need to get that song down to Vern Shank down there in Florida.
Yeah.
Actually, it's pretty done.
Yeah, Vern's a nice guy, yeah. You got to get that down there.
He'll play it. He played some of mine, so he'll play it.
Cool. So how you doing, Danny?
I'm doing pretty good. Had a rough time, and I know Rick and Jimmy know about that, too, but I'm doing pretty good now.
Good to hear, Danny.
Yes, good to hear. Is absolutely right. Absolutely. But, yes, I did
love
that song,
Dan.
Well, not really a question. I just want to say I love that song. I'm glad they've got a new album coming out. And the only thing I regret is I wasn't there to sing with them on it.
Stay on your feet at the right time. Oh yeah, kiddo.
Boy. Yeah, but it was a great
thing. Thank you, Dan.
Yes, Dan. Thanks for calling, honey. We appreciate it. And I hope you stay well now. You stay well.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Yeah. So now, other than the cruise, what else can we expect from you guys with this new hit single that you got?
We got an upcoming date actually in Ohio, not too far from home, in central Ohio. And it would be a St. Jude benefit. There's a 3-day event. I guess I could say it. It's the Claremont Twin Lakes Resort, and it's shortly about a month after they do open the resort area for the members to go on the weekends. And there's the usual fishing, boating, camping, whatever it is that they do. I'm not much of a camper. So, but they are having a 3-day event for the benefit of St. Jude, and we are opening the event on a Thursday night, and we really look forward to that because we've been in touch with some very, very courteous and polite and friendly people.
Mark Hale and
his family, and they were a big part of getting us involved with this, and it's for a good cause, and we look forward to doing that.
Nice.
And then we got other things in the works here. Also in Ohio, and we may be involving some friends, other Ohio groups. Hopefully, we'll know more in the future. Anybody could check our website for future dates coming up if they like. But
I gotta get there. I really do. I mean,
stay here if you come in.
Yeah, I got to get there. I mean, there's so many amazing musicians that came from Ohio. And what do we got? We got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is out there, right?
Absolutely, right down the road.
Yeah. Did you ever play there, by the way?
At the Rock Hall, we have not.
I have another band, and it was a great experience to see the Outsiders being there probably within the next year.
Yeah, you got to get in there. Yeah, for
sure. The Rock Hall actually has a Cleveland band exhibit that is enclosed in a glass case, and we are part of the Cleveland exhibit with some huge, successful Cleveland bands like the OJs, the James Gang, the Raspberries, Eric Harmon, and actually others don't even come to mind, but if anybody comes to town and they go to the museum, they can see the Cleveland exhibit. It's pretty interesting. There's things to look at. My drum head is hanging in the exhibit with the original Outsiders drum set, and among other things, some nice pictures, some nice album covers, and all that good stuff. So, it's a nice.
Let me ask you this real quick. Now, I know it's hard to replace Sonny. You know, how can you replace him? But out of the two of you, you both sing. How did you decide who was going to sing Time Won't Let Me? in the shows that you guys do.
The songs that I am, that I feel I'm capable of reproducing, I will sing because they are outsider songs, and I played on a lot of the outsiders' records. Some of them are not flattering to my vocals, so the other guys will also be singing outsider songs. Michael will be singing Precious and Few. Greg will be singing Girl in Love. And I'll sing Time Won't Let Me, Help Me Girl, and Respectable. And then the other album cuts, we all take turns. We all share. And you mentioned Sonny before. My friend Sonny passed away, of course, in 2017. And quite honestly, he was the voice. He was the voice on the Outsiders records. He was the front man. And I just felt that having someone front the Outsiders that wasn't him, wasn't Sonny, would be, I don't know what the word is, but I feel like it was better off not having an imposter than having somebody front the Outsiders band that quite honestly, he'd have big shoes to fill, and I didn't want to put anybody in that position. And I think that as a tribute to Sonny, we're not filling his spot.
No.
We're leaving it open. We are all sharing the duties of singing vocals on the Outsiders show. And if anybody out there is going to make it to the cruise at the end of the month, they will be able to hear our live show and judge for themselves.
When you let me know when you want a girl join the group?
I will. You and Lois will be vocal.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to dance. I want to sing.
Well, I'll tell you, Joanne. You know, we've also heard some of your original material, and let me tell you, girlfriend.
Oh yeah, Joe.
Yeah. We gonna talk after we have a little bit of time on our hands here.
Well, let me just say that I was influenced by the Outsiders and every other '60s band that is out there.
Good.
And
good.
You may actually hear a little bit of that when I sing. So,
good stuff, Joanne. Good stuff.
No, thank you. But coming from you guys, that means the world. Thank you so much. I wish I was born then. I was born in the wrong time. You know.
Me too.
That's what I think.
Oh wait a minute. Too long ago.
I'd like to say hello to Bill Bruno, the Outsiders original guitar player out in San Diego. I think he has tuned in. And he played and sang on all the Outsiders records just like I did. And also the sons, Tom King's sons, if they are listening, we certainly like to recognize them as well. And, of course, Tom King, their dad, gave me the opportunity to be a part of all this in the first place, and I have huge respect for him as a friend and as a musician. So, Michael, Dan, and Kevin, if you're listening, just want to say hello to all three of you, and we remember your dad.
Absolutely. You want to hear something really ironic, Joanne?
My own.
When Tom King did his 30th reunion, his 30-year reunion, I had auditioned along with his bass player at that point in time, is a gentleman by the name of Rob Mitchell, who's a fun guy. And I had auditioned for Tom, and I was given the opportunity to play with the Outsiders back then. But because I was busy with my other band, I couldn't really commit to the dates that were needed. And here we are, time later, full circle. Being a huge fan of the Outsiders to begin with, and I'm blessed enough to be in the middle of this awesome family, and it's just, and meeting wonderful people.
Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's like, for me, all our guests that we've had on are like my heroes. I've been influenced and just reared by them, and I get to talk to them, which is like amazing, and I love it. It's just, I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, yeah. You are quite an amazing lady yourself. So, you know, with that being said, it's just fun. It's a pleasure
well,
to know you. Absolutely.
I guess I fooled you too. So, anyway.
No, you didn't. Johnny. Yep, Johnny O.
Johnny O, they're calling you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, here I am. I thought you were calling Joe.
They're saying Johnny O. Well, I want to say thank you so much for joining us, guys. We have Jimmy. I always call him Ashenberger, but it's not. It's Jimmy Ashenberger. And Ricky. Ricky Biagiola. And thank you so much, the guys from The Outsiders, your new single, You and Me. Guys, go get it. It is a hit. I love it. We wish you guys the best. Always stay in touch. You know we do. And I love you. Thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Us too, Joel.
And guys, if you could do me a favor, guys, don't wait another 52 years for the next single, please, okay?
Yeah.
We might drop one sooner before you know it. So stay tuned. God bless you both, everybody.
Oh, you too, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good night, guys. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys. Good night.
Take care. Good luck with the song.
Thank you. Thank you, and we'll stay in
touch. Okay. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun tonight. I had a lot of fun. Oh, boy, that was a lot of fun. Well, thank you to our guest tonight, Mr. Larry Wilcox from Chips. What a treat that was. And Jimmy Ashenberger and Ricky Biagiola from The Outsiders with their new release, You and Me. And you can get it on any online music store. And it really is good. I mean, I don't know how it sounded to you guys at home on here. We apologize because our music doesn't come out so great when we play it here. But if you liked it on here, you're going to love it when you hear it for real. So, John, as always, thank you. I love you. Thank you to our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro, Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kentridgeville, Pennsylvania, KWD Wines in South Africa. And just wanted to mention real quick before we jump, John, if it's okay, the fundraiser for comedian Jody Wiener is this week, March 6th at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are still available. So if you guys want to get in on that, it's a nice evening for a great cause, an evening of comedians, food, and it's only $50. And it's emceed by Al Sapienza from The Sopranos. And you could send a check for $50 made out to the Jody Wiener Fund, care of Arlene Brief Entertainment, 20 Brandon Ave, Livingston, New Jersey, 07039. That's March 6th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern here in New Jersey. John, anything you want to add, honey?
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I like that song so much. We're going to end the show playing the whole song one more time because I just love it so much, and then we'll just hang up after the end of the song, okay? Outsiders, again. Love the song. Fantastic. And here we go, and good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Enjoy.
thank you guys and good night.